The Cork Shakespearean Company, a theatre company focusing almost exclusively on the works of William Shakespeare, since its inception in 1924 by the late Father O'Flynn, many people have passed through the doors and have gone on to become highly successful in the field of theatre. It is the perfect beginning and stepping stone for the enthusiastic theatre lover. It's one of the oldest running Shakespearean theatre companies in the world, based in the loft near Shandon Street. And they say that everyone is welcome. Now, the next production that will be taken to the stage is The Merry Wives of Windsor. Featuring 19 characters, it will take to the Cork Arts Theatre, otherwise known as the Cat Club, from Wednesday the 1st to Saturday the 4th of May. Now, one of the cast members taking part is Clodagh Walsh. And I'm delighted to welcome Clodagh, who will be playing the role of Mistress Ford. Clodagh, very good evening and you're welcome to the programme.
Hi, Dara. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, absolutely delighted to welcome you. You know, when I was looking at this and I was thinking about Shakespeare, I almost had nightmares thinking of my intercert with King Henry IV, Part 1, and then for my leaving cert with Macbeth. And there's not a whole lot I remember, but I do remember Falstaff, and he's about the only one that really had an effect on me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, The Merry Wives of Windsor will be perfect if you're interested in Falstaff, as he's the main character. He's the main character that the plot kind of revolves around.
So, Clodagh, talk to me about The Merry Wives of Windsor, or as I initially posted on Facebook last night, The Many Wives of Windsor. I'm sure there were many of them, but they were merry too. Yes. But what is the plot behind this? So, I mean, what is it that'll draw people in and might be a little bit different from the regular Shakespearean play?
Okay, well, to talk about the themes, firstly, it's a comedy, which, you know, Shakespeare didn't really write too many comedies, but this one, it's a really good comedy. It's right up there. And the themes include love and marriage, jealousy and revenge, social class and wealth. But, you know, the jealousy and the revenge, it's all in good spirit. It's all fun compared to other plays where, you know, the treatment of jealousy, like an Othello or a Winter's Tale, I mean, you know, they were quite deep-seated, you know, dangerous jealousy. Whereas the jealousy in this one, it's a jest. You know, you can make fun of the character Falstaff, and, you know, it's all done in lightheartedness.
Which, you know, is always very, very, very welcome. But as you say, it's a little bit different to the normal grittiness of Shakespeare. Now, Clodagh, you're playing the part of Mistress Ford. And I know that Falstaff arrives at Windsor very short on money. He decides to obtain financial advantage and that he will court two wealthy married women, one of whom is Mistress Ford. So talk to me about Mistress Ford.
Yes, so Mistress Ford is certainly a merry wife. You know, she has a little bit of spark about her when she sees that Falstaff is a little bit interested. So, you know, she's sort of on that side of a personality, whereas Mistress Page, who would be my best friend, is slightly on the other side. You know, she's not really having any of it, you know. So our two characters are as thick as thieves, but they are very different type of characters. And we decide, once we realise that Falstaff is having us both on, because he sent us the same love letters, trying to woo us, we get together and we want to take revenge on Falstaff. So that's where the fun starts to come into it. And the two of us get up to some tricks and get him into a little bit of trouble.
Ah, that just sounds absolutely dreadful. And my memories of Falstaff was an ageing sort of porterly, shall we say, character, if not overweight. So you're going to be taking advantage of this poor devil.
I would call him a poor devil now, really, the way he's approaching the two ladies, quite undignified. Yes, you know, I as Mistress Ford do, you know, lead him on. I do give him some hope, and that's where all the fun begins. I can't say too much more because I don't want to give away what happens. But it's all happy families at the end. You know, it's a real comedy and it's a real uplifting sort of play in that sense.
Do you know, I'm thinking a lot of us could actually identify with that. You know, you'd go out with somebody for a night out and you try and make the best impression possible and things are going great, and then at the last possible moment, you go home on your own.
Yeah. Well, Falstaff doesn't go home on his own. He goes home with lots of new friends after, you know, he has his deserving, his deserving jest, I suppose. I'm not going to say too much more about the plot in that sense, but, what we get up to and the crux of it are hilarious. And there's a lot of physical acting in this as well, you know. I find that when I started Shakespeare and, you know, when I would go to Shakespearean production, you know, sometimes you need to rely on the actions and the facial expressions of the actors because you may not grasp the language, you know, if you haven't studied it or if you're not au fait with it, you know, so you do need to rely on other cues. And this play, I think, is one of the better ones for that physical acting and cues for people to be brought along with the story, you know. And also, I think that this particular play, maybe it's, we're chatting about it with the cast, maybe it's in simpler language than other Shakespearean plays, kind of every day or every man's words at that time, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I think this could be a great draw for particularly students. And I'm thinking in particular Leaving Cert students who are studying Shakespeare at the moment, that, you know, an opportunity to come along to this particular play might give them actually a new appreciation, a fresh appreciation and an insight into the workings of Shakespeare, which may help them in whatever play that they're actually studying.
Absolutely. You know, it brings it to life because, I mean, I found, you know, if you're studying something and you're reading it, you know, and it doesn't come to life, then, you know, it's a lot more difficult to grasp. But if you do go to a theatre production, you know, you become immersed in what's happening and you really get to know the story. You know, as they say, a picture, you know, tells a thousand words and, you know, it stays with you for longer. So, you know, watching the theatre production of Shakespearean play, I certainly feel would benefit students, you know, in their, I suppose, in their journey to understand Shakespearean language.
Now, tickets are available and can be booked from the Cork Arts Theatre. You can call them on 021-450-5625, or you can find their website, which is corkartstheatre.com. But, Clodagh, let's park Shakespeare for a moment, because you've been involved in the acting world now for some time. I know you've done some tremendous short films. You've done a lot of other stuff as well for TV, commercials, film, modelling, stage, you name it. But I'm very curious, you're going to be one of the main characters in a cast of The Serpent. Now, this has been written by Brazilian playwright Nelson Rodriguez. It's going to be taking place in the Gaiety. Talk to me about that.
Yes, that's right. That's very exciting. As soon as The Merry Wives concludes, I will be starting rehearsals for The Serpent. As you say, it's a Nelson Rodriguez playwright. He's a famous Brazilian playwright, now dead, of course. But we'll embark on that journey. We are going to be rehearsing in the Gaiety. I don't think the production will actually be on in the Gaiety, but it will certainly be in Dublin on July 16th. For one night only, we'll be doing two plays. And then on the back of that, the cast who are in this show, we'll also be doing a film, to adapt that that script into a film, suitable for a film. So it is interesting. It's the Embassy of Brazil and the Embassy of Ireland who are coming together to support this, as our director is from Brazil herself. So that's very exciting. It's very exciting. It's something quite different. There's going to be a lot of... we'll be filming some scenes that will be projected onto the wall as part of the theatre production itself. So, you know, there's two dimensions. There will be two dimensions to it.
Now, as I mentioned, you've been involved in a lot of things, but what listeners may not realise, and you reminded me of this the other day, that you and I shared a moment of fame in the company of Dathi O'Shea and Maura Duran when we were invited in to talk about tea drinking, or more to the point, to taste tea. And what a riveting piece it was.
It certainly was. Well, the green room was certainly riveting. That was a lot of fun to meet a lot of people. And the tea, what was the, we had to taste the microwaved cup of tea and a fresh cup of tea.
Yeah, almost World War III had ensued because somebody on a show had spoken about making tea in a microwave, and there was absolute consternation, and they brought somebody in from the Food Safety Authority to show people how to make a proper cup of tea, as if Cork people didn't know it already. And we were handed, if you remember, these white cheap cups and these china cups, and we were asked, well, which one is different? Now, I mean, in all fairness, you know, I mean, you'd want to be really bad now if you couldn't figure out what they were doing to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely an experience. And look, it was Barry's tea, so it's all good. Whether microwaved or not, it was Barry's tea.
And, you know, I had visions, Clodagh, at the time, that we might have been taken up by Ellen DeGeneres or something to come across and show people what the real value of drinking good tea is all about. But I'm still waiting for that phone call.
Well, it may happen, yes, Dara. We may be travelling over to the Ellen show.
Now, Clodagh, before I let you go, just tell me, you know, how did you get into this, the whole acting or artistic world? Because I'm thinking, you know, we're coming towards the pre-leaving cert exams, and people are going to be wondering, what are they going to be doing when they finish? We've all been there. We've all thought about it. I still haven't figured it out. But, you know, if somebody is thinking about a career in the arts, a career in acting, is it as glamorous as what it is, or what is it that drew you down that path?
Okay, well, for me, I was lucky enough to have Catherine Mann Buckley, which many Cork people will know. She runs CADA, she was my elocution teacher in primary school, which I think it's speech and drama these days, but I had Catherine Mann Buckley, and we had a lot of very professional productions, you know, for primary school, really, and from then, I loved it. You know, I would know everybody's lines. I was a real nerd. You know, I'd go home, I'd learn all the lines. I wouldn't just learn my lines, I would learn everybody else's lines. So, you know, when someone forgets, as, you know, a lot of people do in, you know, in primary school, and, you know, it's just a bit of fun, no, I would be there and I would be prompting everybody. And, you know, it's just something that I took to straight away. I absolutely loved it. But then as time goes on, you know, I did a couple of modelling jobs and so on when I was kind of working, not working. Then I went to Australia. Then when I came back, kind of fell into a couple of other bits and pieces. And then I have two daughters, 3 and 5. And after my second daughter, I thought, you know what? I'm a mum, I'm a fantastic mum, but I'm not only a mum. So I'd love to get back into something that I enjoy as a hobby. And from there, my mum was very supportive and, you know, she helped out if, you know, the girls had to be minded while I went to an audition or whatever the case. And it just kind of took off from there. So it's been a couple of years now and they're kind of back in it. But, you know, you have to be outgoing, I think, in order to kind of put yourself out there, in order to have conversations with people, because Cork is very small. Ireland is very small. You start talking to one person, then, you know, you might get involved in one thing and then you get involved in the other. And it just goes that way. I've been extremely lucky with having one thing after another. So, you know, I'm amazed and delighted with where I am at the moment. But I think there's something that people, I suppose, maybe do not realize, is that there's a lot of talk about people doing things for free, and I don't necessarily agree with people doing things for free, because, you know, you're giving your time, your skills and your expertise and you're giving everything, really. And the thing is that sometimes in order to get somewhere you need to do something first for free. And for example, the Cork Shakespearean Company, it is a voluntary, you know, company. And, you know, getting involved simply with something like that, you can get involved with the Cork Shakespearean Company or other companies the same as it, and actually get your foot in the door somewhere, get into the circle, get talking to people. And only by doing that and helping out, maybe it's backstage you try for a while, maybe it's another job and it's in front of the camera, maybe it's behind the camera, maybe it's a runner for a day. Just get into it and see, is it something that you really enjoy doing? And not only, you know, it's only until you do that that you can actually say, this is for me or this is not for me. Just like any other profession, really.
But you actually raise, you put your finger on a very good point. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, a very good friend of mine who's involved in dance and all that sort of thing. And she was making the point as well, you can be very, very busy doing things for nothing. Whereas, you know, you'll garner more respect from people when you do. It's not that you're putting a price on your head, but if you have been working at your particular art for many, many years and, you know, you've become qualified, you deserve to be recompensated for the work that you're doing. And, you know, it's a conversation for another day, but I do think it's valid to remember that if you've gone out there and you've been plying your trade for many years, you've been serving your time, you know what, you can be busy doing things for nothing all the time, but, you know, you need to put bread on the table as well.
For sure, and that's a decision that the person themselves needs to make. You know, are they doing it as a hobby and something that they might give their time when they have free time to do? Or, as you say, are they looking, you know, to bring the money in? And, you know, I suppose if it is that you want to look at it professionally, you know, your best bet would be to go to a manager or an agent, you know, and take it to that level. You know, I suppose that's the next level if you don't want to be busy all the time and not getting paid for it.
Absolutely. Well, look, Clodagh, it is a conversation for another day, and it's a conversation we will have again for sure. But just to remind listeners again, the Merry Wives of Windsor take to the stage at the Cork Arts Theatre, otherwise known as the Cat Club, from Wednesday the 1st to Saturday the 4th of May. You can book tickets on corkartstheatre.com, or you can call them on 021-450-5624. I most certainly will be going along to this. And among other people, to see my guest, Clodagh Walsh. Clodagh, listen, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us. And look, we'll get a podcast up of the interview as well. Continued success. And maybe you'll come into studio someday and we'll have a proper chat about all things artistic.
Absolutely. Yes, looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Dara.
Take care, Clodagh, and a happy Easter.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.